If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome to Tuesday edition of Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. I'm Steve Stewart. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. Don't forget to like us on Facebook if you get the chance at Above the Fold. And remember, you can stream the show live at realtalk93.com if you miss the show, or you want to go back and catch up on something that I said. But we've got a really, really big show for you today. A lot of stuff to talk about. We got a federal corruption trial going on in downtown Tallahassee. I'll get you up to date on that briefly here in a moment. Got a Leon County Commission meeting this afternoon. I'll touch on some of the issues there. A lot of virtue signaling going on some of the issues. Talking about they're going to do resolutions on some of the voting laws. I'll get you up to date on what their positions appear to be on this, on that issue. Also, they're going to rename some streets. Didn't see anything about painting any logos on streets, but they are going to rename some streets, and we'll give you the skinny on that. Also, the fulfillment center that was such a big deal in the Blueprint Intergovernmental Agency meeting a while back, and we still don't know the status of that, but evidently from a procedure standpoint, it's got to go back before the Leon County Commission meeting tonight, or today, I should say, this afternoon, as a public hearing. And so there's going to be, before the Blueprint IA, the Blueprint IA basically had to deal with this rather quickly. So I expect tonight at the Leon County Commission meeting, there's going to be a lot of speakers on the issue of the fulfillment center, which they're seeking approval of some permitting and the go-ahead on that. So I looked at some of the email comments that have come in, and I think it was about 18 pages of comments on this. So this is something that's been a little bit under the radar, but it will be an item on the commission meeting today. And, one of the things I'm a little bit confused with in terms of the Blueprint IA getting the vote moving forward, now this goes in front of the Leon County Commission. What happens if the county commission votes no on this? So does this, in essence, kill the project? Now, none of the commissioners, all of them except for... Yeah, everybody voted for this except for Jack Porter and the Blueprint IA. So I don't expect anything unless there's some new information that comes out. But this is something to keep an eye on. We'll talk about that in the next segment. In the bottom of the hour, very interesting article. And I think this is something that you're not going to read about here, or maybe you will eventually. But something I came across looking at the national news. But Ben Crump has taken on his first white client, and there's a lot to this story, a lot to unpack. For so long, so many years, Ben Crump has been as the famous civil rights attorney, which is based here out of Tallahassee, has been talking about police brutality from the lens of it being solely a black issue. And for a couple of years, a number of people have been talking about, listen, whites are getting killed in police-related law enforcement actions also, but it really fell on deaf ears because the media, the mainstream media, legacy media, focused on the George Floyds, the Breonna Taylors. But now, if you read, and I urge you to stay tuned, because they are completely pivoting on their strategy to implement reforms with regards to law enforcement. And I obviously am on board with this. When you see a quote from Ben Crump or Al Sharpton that says police brutality and police reform is not about black and white, it's about right and wrong, I'll get on that bandwagon. And so it's interesting to see the change in tone here. There's also another change at the national level with regards to law enforcement, which we'll also talk about. So I don't know if people are looking at polling data or if they just understand what's going on now with the dynamics of this. But in the bottom of the hour, we'll go through this article that showed up on CNN, very specific. And it's really, I think it should be getting more play because when you read the article, it's really mind-boggling the 180-degree pivot they are taking, which is actually more consistent with what we're hearing on the ground locally with our law enforcement officials here. So we'll deal with that. And again, it's very interesting to me. In the last segment, we'll talk about an interview that we did or that we have an article on with Chief Walt McNeil, covered a number of issues, about a 600-word article, but very, very informative, and it'll fit well with the discussion, following the discussion on the Ben Crump issue. And then that's when we'll get into the law enforcement issue coming down from President Joe Biden. This is going to present a problem within the Democratic Party, because it goes completely against some of the progressive policy initiatives, but we'll get into that. I wanted to spend just a minute on this federal trial here, corruption trial in Tallahassee, during this segment. Look, it got underway on Monday. It looks like there's not going to be a settlement as we maybe thought. Opening statements took place, and they also picked a jury. The jury, I think it's two alternates and a jury of 12. Looked like it was 10 women and two men. Based on the opening statements, it clearly looks like the legal defense for JT Burnett is going to be entrapment, that the undercover agents really lured Mr. Burnett into doing some things that he probably would not have normally done. Also, there appears like they're going to try to talk about this as, look, this was consulting fees. This was lobbying. This is what you had to do to get things done here in Tallahassee. And so today, this morning, they were calling their first witness, and so we're off and running. You know, one of the problems with this federal trial is how difficult it is to cover from a journalist standpoint. You're not allowed to take any phones into the courtroom, so you just got to go sit in there, and it's like the old-time days. You got to draw cartoon pictures of people, take notes, and then come out and, I guess, and tweet it and go back in. So it is a little bit of a little bit of an obstacle. So we'll rely on some of these other news organizations that have the time to go and sit in there. But I know that Tallahassee Democrat reporter Jeff Berlew has been tweeting out. They called the first witness this morning, and is an employee of JT Burnett, and referring to the invoice of $100,000 that was sent from Governance Services as a consulting fee. So, but anyway, we'll keep you up to date on that. This is the trial is supposed to take anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. And if you look at some of the witness lists that was put out, I mean, you're looking at former city commissioners Nancy Miller, Gil Ziffer, former city manager Rick Fernandez, and others. So without a settlement, these people are going to have to get up on the stand under oath and answer some questions. Probably going to bear a little bit of the underbelly of what's going on here, or what has been going on in Tallahassee over a, you know, 5 to 10 year period. And, you know, I think obviously when you have a couple people that already pled guilty for bribery, I think anything that comes out after this is just going to continue to buttress that there was a time in Tallahassee's history where there was a lot of underhanded business going on. A lot of people, I think, were affected by this. A lot of vendors had to reluctantly write checks to get business done. To the degree to which the vendors participated in this is, I think, is what you're going to find out. Obviously, the feds believe that JT Burnett, who was a vendor, you know, crossed that line of just paying to be able to do business, but actually participated in the pay-to-play scheme. We'll see if they have the evidence to prove that, you know, as the trial unfolds. But when we get back, we'll pivot to the Leon County Commission meeting and highlight some of the issues that they're going to address today. And then at the bottom of the hour, we'll deal with the Ben Crump issue. So stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Spartan Stoneworks. One of the most common and cost-effective upgrades anyone can make to their home is the kitchen. You're almost guaranteed to increase the value of your home with an updated kitchen, but quality materials like granite, quartz, and marble countertops can get expensive. Well, not when you go with Spartan Stoneworks. Pricing will be lower than anywhere else because they do not mark up the cost of the stone materials. The way they see it, since they didn't carve it out of the mountain themselves, they're not going to charge any made-up fee as if they did. Great pricing, amazing craftsmanship, and quick turnaround from an honest local company. Give them a call at 765-2037, 765-2037, and we appreciate their sponsorship. All right, dipping right into the Leon County Commission meeting, a couple things I wanted to highlight. First, so there is there's this move, obviously a little bit of virtue signaling here, changing some street names to honor President Obama, former president, and some local civil rights activists. And so this has been, I think, has been sort of under the radar, but has been contemplated by both the city and the county commission. And so they've changed the laws or the ordinances to make it easier to do this. But the what they're going to deal with the commission meeting today is the proposal to rename part of Pensacola Street for call it Obama Street. And then also there are a couple of civil rights activists here locally that they're looking to change the name of a street. And, you know, this doesn't, there are laws that regulate this, but they've changed the ordinances so that people can actually get up a petition or petition the government to change the name of street. And then it has to go, obviously, before the commission. And so, obviously, the Obama Street name change is of the most, is the more noted one. And, you know, this comes on the heels of the painted mural down at Gaines Street with Black Lives Matter, and it's since been repainted. And so it's obvious that the community we live in believes it is important to do these type of things, to recognize some of the national context of our politics. You know, you've seen the election day change for a holiday, both at the county and the city. Now, the city's rationale there was a little bit different than Leon County's on that issue, but it had to do with the city's rationale had to do more with some of the controversial voting laws around the country. Leon County put it in a context of being more about celebrating Election Day. So anyway, that's going to be one of the issues that will be taken up. Also, one of the issues is going to be a resolution to stand against the election law that was put into law here in the state. That would be, they call it SB 90, I believe. And then the other issue is to support the federal voting law, HR 1, I believe it's called. And so they're going to come out with a resolution, condemning one and supporting another. Again, this is, you know, our local government reaching up to pull down some of these national issues that, you know, it will be popular with the majority of people in Leon County, both these actions. But, you know, once again, I think the voting resolution more than Obama Street is an issue that is going to continue to divide us. And the rationale, you know, we'll try to get into this later, maybe have a couple of commissioners on in terms of the voting laws. You know, this has definitely become a liberal conservative issue, but there are some facts behind these voting laws. And, you know, when you've got black turnout surpassing white turnout in two of the last four or five presidential elections, I don't really know how you can say that the system is being suppressed. So, and we can get into some more details on that, but this is something that the Leon County Commission is going to take up. Don't know that there'll be a lot of discussion on it. One of the things that concerns me a little bit here, and I'm not sure why this is the case, but there's 25 items which are considered consent items, which in other words, if one of the commissioners doesn't want to talk about these issues, they're all going to be, all 25 of these items are going to be passed on a voice vote at the beginning of the meeting. And include the street naming issue. Actually, the Obama street naming issue is the general business one, but They include final recommendations for the establishment of the maximum millage rate. They include 9/11 Day of Remembrance. They include the inclusionary housing policy overview. They include a water quality issue. So it's a, again, 25 items that will be passed in the consent agenda here. And we're, TIAS reports and Above the Fold, we'll be covering a lot of these issues after they vote on them and see if there's any discussion. Anyway, a lot of items there. The last time I wanted to talk about was this fulfillment center issue. And again, I think that this is under the radar, because this is going to give a lot like what happened with the Northeast Gateway. This is giving people a second bite at the apple, and it looks like they're taking it. Based on what I'm seeing on their website, the Leon County Commission website, is that there are about 18 pages of comments that will be, I guess, submitted to the record. I don't know how many people are going to actually show up. I would expect a number will. But the staff recommendation here is to conduct the first and only public hearing for the, quote, Leon County Fulfillment Center Type C site and development plan application. Approve the request for deviation to the sign code, and approve the application with conditions based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law included herein, and those established within the Development Review Committee's record, as well as any evidence received at the public hearing. So, in other words, any more evidence that they gather can be considered at the public hearing. But again, the issue that I brought up was, so they're going to have to vote on this again. And I think that all the Leon County Commissioners supported this project originally at the Blueprint IA meeting. And the only one that voted against it was City Commissioner Jack Porter. But the question becomes, are there going to be comments made? Or are there going to be citizens from the area that are going to raise concerns that were raised right on the, actually it was a consent issue of the Northeast Gateway that stalled the vote for a couple of weeks? Is the same thing, or is it possible that this could happen here at the Leon County Commission meeting? Because, again, a lot of comments submitted via email, and you would think there'd be a lot of speakers. I know that there, this is a, if it was to come to fruition, a huge project. I mean, we're talking about a 750,000 square foot building. Talking about a lot of traffic issues, talking about environmental issues, talking about noise issues. And there are a number of neighborhoods in that area that I think are going to raise some concerns. Now, again, it definitely butts up against the I-10, and you would think that any kind of commercial development, you'd want it near the interstate. And again, you would have to think that I-10, which was built in the late 60s, most people that, if you've moved into an area next to the interstate, would understand that these roads are going to be ripe for future development. And that's what's happening out at I-10 in Mahan. If you look at the business center out there, number of companies, FedEx Depot is out there at the, I think it's the, what would you say, the southeast corner of Mahan and I-10, or maybe the northeast corner. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see at the Leon County Commission meeting how far they get with this, and if there'll be a lot of outrage in the public comments because of this potential development. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, when we get back, we're gonna tackle this issue with regards to Ben Crump. This is something that I really look forward to talking to you about, because when I read this article, this was an in-depth article, and I think it has a lot of implications moving forward, and I think it's positive. So, but the fact that Ben Crump and Al Sharpton are now defending a white person who was killed in a law enforcement action is very interesting, and we'll talk about it when we get back. Stay tuned. She loves to move. She loves to groove. She loves a lot of things. Oh, all night. All night. Oh, every night. So hold tight. Hold tight. Ooh, baby, hold tight.
Thank you.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk at 93.3. Appreciate you joining us. We'll have more on the Leon County Commission meeting on Thursday. Will take place today at 3. Also, right now, and it could be over now, but they did have the city-county joint meeting on the homelessness issue. We'll give you an update, see what happened at that meeting on Thursday also. But wanted to talk about more of a national issue which has impact here in Leon County. Tallahassee civil rights attorney Ben Crump and Al Sharpton are taking up their first case involving a white person who was killed after being shot during an encounter with a police officer. The situation is a 17-year-old was shot early one morning who was unarmed. There was no body camera footage, and now Al Sharpton and Ben Crump are going to be representing, I guess Ben Crump will be the attorney representing the family of the young man that was killed. This is obviously, the headline says it all. This is their first case that Ben Crump is taking up involving a white person. Until this point, Ben Crump has basically provided the police reform issue, police brutality issue, through the lens of basically African-American victims, or what they call victims, in encounters with police officers. And this is something that a lot of people have had an issue with over the last couple of years and have routinely talked about the facts that, more white people are actually killed in by police officers and altercations that involve law enforcement actions in blacks. Also, there is this, if you go back and look at some of the cases that have been popularized by Ben Crump, the George Floyd situation, the Breonna Taylor situation in Louisville, there are comparative white people who were killed in the exact same situation. Before George Floyd was killed with a knee on his back in Texas, there was a young white man who was killed in the same exact manner. And then when you look at the Breonna Taylor in Louisville, there was that's a no-knock warrant was executed that resulted in the accidental shooting of her, a tragedy. Same thing happened in Maryland with a white gentleman who was subject of a no-knock warrant and was shot and killed. And so for years, people have been yelling about this or trying to get the media to say, look, the issue with law enforcement is not just about African Americans. Now, we can argue that it might affect a certain group more than others, but the narrative that we've been getting, and this is in large part due to Ben Crump, is that, police officers are tracking down African Americans and killing them indiscriminately, which is just, is not true. And it's amazing to see this article and what's in this article. This completely pivots the strategy and really raises the question of how sincere they were over the last 2 or 3 years. Al Sharpton states on this case, and this is a quote that should be blasted across all kind of media platforms. From Al Sharpton, quote, "The issue of policing is not about black and white. It's about right and wrong." I mean, that is an unbelievable statement. If it was stated 2 or 3 years ago, I mean, can you just imagine the impact that would have had? Again, the statement, "The issue of policing is not about black and white. It's about right and wrong." That's coming from Al Sharpton. And so you ask yourself, well, why are they doing this? Well, I'll tell you why they say they're doing it, and then we'll talk about another issue. Crump says this case could increase support for police reform. There is currently the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act before Congress, which is stalled. But Crump said the image of an unarmed white teenager killed by police will start to change the narrative as the country sees that children of all races and ethnicities can be victims of police violence. That statement was true 5 years ago, before this country went through the riots and the looting in cities and in large cities across the United States. But these words never left the mouths of Al Sharpton or Ben Crump until now. And so the idea is that they're not going to get this done unless they first of all, they got to get the truth out. They got to have support from people that understand that this is not just a black issue. Well, you know, there's a bulletin here. There are people been saying this for years, and now Crump and Sharpton are adopting this language because they think it will move police reform forward. Well, yeah, I think so, because you're starting to try to bring people together on what the facts are showing us. So while I'm on the bandwagon here moving forward with this, I mean, I think now you got to ask some hard questions. You know, when did they suddenly start to believe these words that they're talking about? Oh, it's a little bit mind-boggling, and also is very frustrating that you go through years and years of this one-sided presentation that results in one race demonizing another because two popular people like Al Sharpton and Ben Crump are lying. We got the truth here on the ground from people like Leon County Sheriff Walt McNeil, who said this is not happening from law enforcement officers. They are not indiscriminately killing black people because of the color of their skin. Well, it looks like Sheriff McNeil was ahead of the curve on this issue. And we reported that. But, that's the reason why Ben Crump and Al Sharpton are changing their tune, a massive change. But I tell you another reason I think they're changing their tune. I think some people are starting to look at the polls. They're doing some of these polls behind the scenes that they don't release numbers on. And this issue's not selling. This Black Lives Matter movement of defunding the police, you're starting to see crime increase. And we're not talking about, obviously there's property crime all over. We're talking about violent crime. We're talking about murders being up 30 and 40%. Post-pandemic. And then when you put this against the facts, you know, this article shows that so far this year, 156 white people have been killed in law enforcement-related actions compared to 102 black people. 14 white people unarmed compared to 6 unarmed. Now, again, do we want to get into the nuance of who is being impacted the most by this? Or do we want to look at the facts that this is not a black and white issue, as Mr. Sharpton now is finally saying? So, you know, I think that from a political standpoint, that we're starting to see that this is not something that's going to sell well coming up to the elections in 2022. And so now there's a pivot. And what we'll talk about in the next segment, you'll see that the President Joe Biden is making the decisions that seem to would indicate that's the case also. But, you know, looking at this Ben Crump article on CNN.com and reading, it's an amazing article, and you will follow this up on Talos Reports, but this really does call to, it calls a lot of questions about the whole Black Lives Matter movement. And now I wonder if this article and these statements are going to provide some crisis management within the Democratic Party because of what some of these progressives are wanting: defund the police, focus more on some other issues. Because, I mean, even here locally, are we going to, based on this article, are we going to see some pivot from our local leaders here in terms of law enforcement? Because what we're getting ready to talk about in the next segment is just the opposite of what we spent a couple of years talking about, is that we needed to cut the number of law enforcement officials across the country in the Black Lives Matter movement. You know, they moved from defund the police to let's take some of the funding and put it in other programs that will hopefully have an impact on crime. Well, now we've got a president who has really changed the tune of that too. So following the change of heart from Ben Crump and Al Sharpton, President Joe Biden has changed his tune in reference to what police departments should be doing around the country. And so this is a monumental change, and it's something worth looking at. It'll be interesting to see how it gets covered at the state level and also here locally. But look, the changes are consistent with what the facts show. So, hey, I'm glad to have these people on board with these changes. But it also is going to, I think it's going to really hurt the credibility of some of these movements. And is he going to start asking questions? Wait a minute. Were you wrong 2 years ago when you said that law enforcement is indiscriminately killing blacks because of the color of their skin? And now you're saying that this is not a black and white problem. Oh, my gosh. Just saying that, hearing me say that, just I don't know how you move forward with credibility on the issue. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about what President Joe Biden's doing, which is completely against what the Black Lives Matter movement and some of the progressives want him to do. But they're his words, and we're going to share them with you when we get back here on Above the Fold.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. Got a little bit of a breather there. Calming down. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Epps Decorating Center. If you're a homeowner, you should always be looking for ways to increase the value of your home. But it doesn't always have to be a major project. A fresh coat of paint can transform the interior and exterior of your home in a dramatic way, and I recommend starting with a visit to Epps Decorating Center, Tallahassee's premier Benjamin Moore paint retailer. Whether you need an interior, exterior paint, high-end, or commercial-grade coatings, Epps Decorating Center is ready to serve you. Give them a call at 385-6649, 385-6649. We appreciate their sponsorship. From that last segment, again, I think this is something that this will probably be ignored by the media to a degree, but if you start thinking about just this change in tone here Ben Crump's been called Black America's Attorney General, a very elevated figure in terms of popularity and I think influence, and Al Sharpton has been around since the 80s. It just will be amazing to see if this gets buried or if this is something that is going to hurt the credibility of these movements in the sense of, look, it's just, when did you discover this? So anyway, I'll let it go. We'll talk about, President Joe Biden. Another one of the issues that he's faced with is increasing crime around the country. And, you start digging into these news articles, one of the things that Democrats are concerned about in 2022 is the increase in crime. It's a different issue when you're running these congressional races, 435 seats across the country, are little pie slices of the country. And it's a much different election than when you're running a presidential election. And so, you're running, the issues differ across these congressional districts. And one of the things that's starting to resonate, I guess, from what they're seeing in the polls is this increase in violent crime. And, Democrats are starting to try to figure out how they can run away from this defund the police movement because of the increase in crime. And, Joe Biden, who's won now, is obviously would like to maintain control of the Senate and the House. And I think his allegiance is there and not with some of these progressive ideas that, that may hurt that effort. And so, he is starting now to talk about within the last couple of weeks of using $350 billion in federal pandemic relief funds to hire more police officers. And that is completely opposite of what we have seen some of these groups demonstrate for over the last couple of years. And here in the article, it says that racial justice advocates say President Biden's new plan for addressing crime and gun violence could encourage cities to divert pandemic relief funding away from communities and into police departments that terrorizes them. Here we go again. Now, Says, moreover, the plan does little to reverse decades of racist policies that both target and abandon Black, Indigenous, and people of color, making their communities more vulnerable to violence. I thought we just read where Al Sharpton says that this is not a black and white issue. This is a right and wrong issue. So this is the messaging, the problem that we're going to run into right here. But back to this point here, Joe Biden is now saying we've got to hire more police officers because crime is getting out of hand in our major cities. Now, as the background or the backdrop for this, he's trying to make this also about gun violence because that is an issue for the left. And they're trying to figure out a way to stop guns from getting into these blue cities, San Francisco, New York, Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit. And so that is definitely an issue that will garner him some support from the left. But asking them to spend $350 billion on new police officers or hiring police officers is something that's not going to resonate well with the movement that has spent years trying to defund the police or argue that we've got to, that we've got to change the way we police. I mean, after years of intense protest against police killings of unarmed Black people that led to widespread calls to defund and abolish the police, now they have a president that is saying we need to spend billion more on hiring new police officers. This all is starting to look like a scam. If you look over the last couple of years in terms of this whole police reform movement, which is based on this narrow lens that, you know, police officers are targeting Blacks and that we've got to defund the police station, the police or law enforcement because they are targeting Black neighborhoods. It just is really starting to look like a scam that they use to get people elected. And now it's starting to backfire in the sense they're seeing these poll numbers, they're going the other way. And here we see this sudden pivot. Well, if you are a tune reader of news, you might start asking yourself, is this the same way they're doing this on these voting laws? Are they just putting up these straw men that are not supported by facts to try to change voting laws that benefit them based on arguments that are just emotional and not based in any kind of evidence? So are we going to come out and hear Stacey Abrams say, hey, look, I was just sort of kidding here over the last couple of years. Anybody can get a voter ID, and it's not really an issue. I mean, it's going to be an interesting tack when we see elections. But what I will tell you is anything that moves towards getting things resolved based on facts is a good thing. And so I've said for years that you need to look at police reform based on the numbers that are affecting both Blacks and whites. The biggest thing is body-worn cameras, which will, I think, provide a deterrent effect from police officers, and it will provide evidence when police officers do a good job. And so I think that is something that obviously the President Biden and the feds are actually providing more money for, which is a good thing. But now, obviously, we're looking at providing more money for police officers, and it's probably the right thing to do. And so I applaud Joe Biden for taking this position. I can't believe this. I applaud Al Sharpton and Ben Crump for recognizing that this is not an issue about Black and white. It's an issue about right and wrong. We should all get on that bandwagon. But I will reiterate that some of our law enforcement officials here in Leon County have been on the right side of this from the beginning. Our elected leaders, not so much. We'll see how they respond to this. So anyway, a monumental issue. I hope that our listeners here will see if they see this issue coming up in some of their news feeds, other news outlets covering these issues that I think, again, show a major change in how we're approaching things from a law enforcement and racial perspective. So keep an eye on that. And then we'll be back on Thursday. We'll get you up to date on the homeless meeting between the city and the county, which took place this morning. Then we'll have the Leon County Commission meeting tonight. we'll get you up to date on what happens with that fulfillment center. As we said, we anticipate a bunch of speakers on that. And also, something we didn't mention today, but we'll have an update on Thursday, is there's a Leon County Schools board meeting tonight. Not a real heavy agenda, but I think there's going to be a lot of discussion about mask policy. So we'll have the latest on that. So keep an eye on TalisReports.com tomorrow for an article dealing with that. But until Thursday, I appreciate you joining us, and we'll be back at 11 a.m. Stay tuned. Have a great afternoon.
Local, and it matters. It's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Waiting for